The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When it comes to your investments and retirement, in this economy, it's important to be smart. And with the Smart Investor Hour heard right here on AM 1420 The Answer, you'll get both smart and intelligent information you'll need to help with your investing. So sit back, listen, and learn with your host of the Smart Investor Hour, Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Let's put our thinking caps on, and happy Easter, and to all those people that looking at this at Passover, same to you. I know it's not really considered a happy time in that case, but let's start thinking. Truth is often eclipsed, but never extinguished. I can't remember who said that, but I just, oh well. The pain you are feeling now cannot compare to the joy that is coming. That's the Romans. I had to throw a good religious quote in there. When they judge you, yawn. When they misunderstand you, smile. When they underestimate you, laugh. When they condemn you, ignore. When they envy you, rejoice. When they oppose you, prevail. That's Diwali, the great Japanese philosopher. Some rise by sin, and some by virtue fall. That's William Shakespeare, one of my favorites. So I got an interesting call. They left a message, and, you know, the market was closed yesterday, and I was at physical therapy. So they just asked, you know, if you were buying an index, which would you buy, small cap index or a large cap index? I mean, of the small cap indexes, which one would you buy, the S&P 600 or the Russell 2000? And, you know, I couldn't believe it was a she who asked that question. And that was exactly what Lori Calvezina talked about in her Pulse of the Market this week. So she, you know, generally the S&P 600 is considered the higher quality of the small cap benchmarks, okay, as compared to the Russell 2000. So, by the way, that's the index that most managers who are in the small cap area benchmark to, which is interesting. So, if you take a look, the percent of companies with negative earnings per share is near the high end of the range for the Russell 2000, but it's well below the peaks on the S&P 600. In the Russell, healthcare and tech are heavily skewed towards negative earnings. And so what we're saying here is these investors were basically preoccupied out there with, will there be a fierce, low-quality rally coming to small caps? And a lot of the actively managed small cap funds generally use one of the Russell's, you know, the Russell 2000 index as the benchmark. The S&P 600 tends to better reflect the investable universe for the big managers, and they tend to underperform with low quality starts to, you know, burst ahead. Okay, so look, you can't rule out a burst of low quality leadership within within the small caps, because remember, a lot of the small caps, their interest rates are tied, they're variable. So if interest rates are going up, you know, they got a problem. If interest rates are going down, they got a solution, you know, which is good. So I think, you know, if you look, the Russell 2000 has technically beaten the S&P 600 since May of 2022. Their duration in terms of time is similar to a lot of low-quality trades seen out of a post-tech bubble, you know, that type of thing, and probably post-COVID, too. So, look, what we've said and what Lori said, and, she was a small-cap strategist for a long time, so we'll listen to her. She's come to believe that the small caps have important lessons for all U.S. equity investors, whether they buy them or not. And this exercise is no different. So first, low-quality leadership within the small caps tends to be seen coming out of recession and often and crises, okay? So that's why she thought that maybe we, you know, we were close to a recession in 2022. So that's interesting. Now, the other thing that I think we've got to pay attention to, and Lori has been really highlighting this for some time, and we've been talking about on the show, is the American Association of Individual Investors net bulls. And, I mean, it is almost a full standard deviation above where it normally is, and that means people are too bullish. And if you look at the commodities futures index, the positioning in the U.S. equity futures has been long, okay? So University of Michigan survey questions were on the outlook of stock prices. So are we getting too bullish? I don't know. Now, I will say this, and this is all technical jargon here, but if you know what on-balance volume is, on-balance volume doesn't look like it's ready to turn over and die yet, okay? And I'm seeing, you know, I've said on this show many a time that the most bullish thing something can do is go up in price, right? And if you look, the XLE, the XLF, the XLB, the XL, I think I said E already, XLP, they've all broken out, okay? The you know, I guess the question is, the staples, you know, look like they could break out. And the real question is, did the Russell break out last week? So it kind of broke out and pulled right back to where it broke out from. So you would like to see it break out. So that's very bullish, okay? You know, when things go up, that's very bullish. Even utilities broke their downtrend line. So, you know, that's all positive. And I think what Lori's talking about is significant in that if the small caps break out, you got to pay attention. Now, you know, where we see the small caps breaking out is in the Russell 2000. So that would be the low quality trade, quote unquote. Okay. So keep that in the back of your head. All right. Now we did, here's some quick hits. Lori pointed out this week, and I think they're very important. There's been some signs of fatigue in the mega cap growth names that have really dominated the scene since, you know, actually, since Rob Schleimer's, you know, quadrant balance oscillator buy call, he, you know, back in last week of October, you know, we kind of pounded the table here on that. It's been, the mega cap's been leading the way. And now there's some fatigue that's been showing up the last month or so. So utility valuations are looking pretty compelling, especially against Lori's model. So I think that's something that you got to pay attention to. So we viewed this sector as intriguing if a broader market pullback occurs. You know, admittedly, hasn't panned out yet. So, but, you know, we, like I said, there a lot of people are bullish. So there's both signs here. Now, one of the things, you know, I'm a Republican, but, you know, Biden has been gaining rapidly in some betting markets. So Trump still has a pretty sizable lead, all right? So we'll see what happens going forward there. Flows to U.S. equity funds have faded a bit after a strong move higher this earlier this year. So trends are worse in small cap, particularly in passive small cap. So what's bullish about this, I think, is if the money's coming out of the market and the market keeps going higher, what happens when the money comes back into the market? You know, so that's something to keep thinking about. And the other thing we're seeing, and this comes from our European group, Frederica Carrier and Tom McGarity out of London, and they look at the European market or the foreign markets as no longer wan and listless. You know, European equities are starting to emerge from their chrysalis, if you will, with newfound potential. So we look at the investment story, and it's transforming, and why investors should take a fresh look at the asset class. And we've been talking about our ADR list now on this show for about a month. And, you know, we try to get this right, okay? So now we upgraded European equities to market weight from underweight in March. That's one of the reasons we keep talking about the ADR list. And our bear case scenario predicted a weakening economy and earnings growth momentum, but it no longer seems to be the case. The economy is starting to show signs of troughing. So European equities present pretty attractive opportunities in that they're trading at about 60% of the multiple of the, you know, the S&P 500. So that's kind of interesting. So look, European equities often are thought of being dominated by old economy companies. And this is indeed the case for 15 years with low growth sectors such as financials, telecommunication services, now called communication services, by the way, utilities, energies, materials. They made up a very significant portion of the Morgan Stanley Corporate Index, which is the EFA, if you're looking at the different ETFs out there. But the profile of the European equity market has taken a notable transformation, all right? You know, they have one of the weight loss drugs now, okay? So, but higher growth-oriented sectors such as tech, healthcare, industrials, and consumer discretionary now represent 57% of their index, all right? So there's been some notable change afoot within the industries. For example, the formerly clunky and bloated conglomerates in heavy industries have really slimmed down. They're spinning off underperforming operations to enhance capital efficiency, and they're focusing more modern dynamic businesses and technology. So the consumer discretionary sector has been transformed over there. So that's kind of interesting. So the evolution of the index's composite has been several notable consequences. So approximately 55% of the revenues of the indexes constitute is now generated outside of Europe. Isn't that interesting? So, you know, what it does is it lessens the dependency on what has been a very lackluster domestic macroeconomic backdrop. So what it does is it provides them with some higher growth opportunities from other countries. European companies' profitability, return on equity, earnings stability, and cash flow profiles have improved drastically. So the ROE, which is a measure of profitability of the index, reached 13% from 9.8% at the end of 2011. So that's a big move up. All right. So 45% of the revenue generated within Europe. Prospects have improved somewhat. In our view, the region narrowly sidestepped the recession, we think, in second half of 2023. You know, economic indicators such as the Eurozone Purchasing Managers Index have been improving, you know, that type of thing. So, look, we have this ADR list, and we have a bunch of really high-quality names on there, and some of them are up, all right, since we started talking about this. So I think it's a great opportunity. So, you know, you really want to buy things when they're down, okay? So there we go. Now, we've been talking about small caps, and we said the time is now. You know, we're very bullish on small caps into 2024, and we do have the two indexes, you know, one of them breaking out, one of them kind of left. I think you have to start to see, you know, if it looks like it broke out and then pulled back right back to the breakout, so you got to kind of watch it a little bit. But you know, they're very oversold for a couple years there. I mean, for 7 years they really did nothing because they were taking the money away. All right, when they take the money away, when they raise interest rates, a lot of these guys have, you know, first of all, the trading desks don't have enough money to hold inventory. And they're not going to, by the way, if they think there's not going to be much volume in the stock. So, you know, the important thing is if the Fed changes their viewpoint, small caps normally outperform when the Fed starts cutting. And that's what they're talking about, folks. All right. So, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. And I you know, we do have a small cap list that I think is significantly, well, let's just put it this way. It's got some interesting names on there. And I think it could get really, really interesting if people start to pay closer attention to them on a breakout. All right. So, like, look, I said a couple weeks ago that gold broke out, but the stocks look terrible. Well, the stocks have suddenly transformed, all right? So when the commodity moves, they move. You know, copper stocks, copper broke out, we talked about last week. Bingo, copper stocks starting to look pretty good, okay? I got one broke out, the other just looks like it's ready to go. So We're seeing signs of sector rotation, and as the growth industry indices are starting to underperform, okay? So we're starting to see the lagging value sectors emerge. And, you know, the one thing about value is it has underperformed growth now for almost a decade, all right? So normally it's a 3 to 4 year cycle where, you know, growth goes for a while, then value goes for a while, and you know, what you want to do is keep an even keel between value and growth, all right? So you're catching the leadership no matter what happens. And when you asset allocate, if growth has gone too high, then you take money from growth and give it to value. And so it's interesting, but the growth index has kind of stalled out at a Fibonacci level, if you know what that is. You know, and that's the largest growth stocks in the U.S., all right? So we'll see what happens going forward. The relative performance of the large cap 1,000 growth index versus the S&P 500 kind of peaked in February. So that's important. And, you know, the if you look at the short-term index, you know, it's kind of been fading down a little bit. So could it correct a little bit? Yeah. But the relative performance, if you look at that, you know, that's kind of a technical thing. And, you know, we're talking mostly fundamentals. And somebody asked me about the 10-year yield. I don't know what to tell you about 10-year yields. You know, interest rates are tough to call, but the the Federal Reserve is kind of saying, hey, we're done. Okay. Now, one of the things I've been noticing is a lot of the metal stocks have been bottoming, and the indexes are starting to bottom. And one of the things that really got whacked when the Silicon Valley Bank Corp got whacked was the regional banks. And the weekly momentum is you know, kind of flat right at the moment. So, but it does look like there seems to be a recovery taking hold in that group. Okay, so keep that in the back of your mind. We're not absolutely sure on that, but we'd like to see it break its downtrend line. But, you know, if the regional banks start to recover, you know, look, one of the things that the on-balance volume tells me is that we could have a pretty big recovery coming. And it you know, when people are starting to get negative, I think, you know, they probably want to get more positive. All right. So, by the way, there may be a shift in leadership, which is good. So, I think I heard my cue. Take a break. Let's take a break. This is the Smart Investor Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I saw her sitting in the rain, raindrops falling on her. She didn't seem to care. She sat there and smiled at me. Then I knew.
Hey friends, it's Bob France. So how are those floors looking right about now? Toward the tail end of winter, carpets all stained with slush and mush. You've been thinking about it, right, but couldn't decide on the time? The time for that new flooring or floor covering is now, thanks to the Floor King. The Better Business Bureau A-plus rated Floor King is now offering you a choice. 24 months of no interest financing or 10% off your total purchase price. Sale ends March 30th, so call now. 216-640-5000. That's 216-640-5000. When you think flooring, think Floor King.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
Wish there was a place to find good, clean, family-safe entertainment? A place with no violence or profanity? Where you can let the kids roam free? That place is the all-new GodTube.com. Watch inspirational videos that'll challenge and motivate. Catch the latest music videos from Christian artists like Jeremy Camp, Hillsong, and Chris Tomlin. And share a laugh with clean comedians like Tim Hawkins, Anita Renfro, and more. All free, 24-7, right in your own home at the simple touch of a button. Visit the new GodTube.com. That's GodTube.com.
At RBC Wealth Management, we are proud of our reputation for putting clients' interests first. Our steadfast commitment to helping clients achieve their financial goals includes giving back to the communities we serve. Through supporting youth education, human services, and the arts, we hope to make tomorrow better for everyone. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSC, FINRA, SIPC.
Okay, we're back. If you just tuned in, this is the Smart Investor Show. And I've been talking about dividend growth portfolios for some time now, and they are, very inexpensive at this point. And I had a conversation this week, and I wrote this stuff down, and I noticed that we already wrote it down. So he was a rental property owner, and he said, I make too much money doing this. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. As a rental property owner, you have some concerns, I'm sure. Are the units rented 100%? And he said, well, mostly. I said, well, is mostly 60%, 70%, 80%? And he said, yeah, about 70. I think he said 75. And I said, are the tenants making the rent payments on time? And he says, yeah, about 75% of the time. And do you have the ability to raise rents at least in line with the rate of inflation? And he said, yes. So I agreed with him on that. And can you remove or replace a bad tenant? He said, it takes a while. You know, and owners are less concerned about the value of their property on a day-to-day basis because historically, real estate has appreciated in value over long term, okay? Now, why is dividend investing similar and maybe better, more liquid? Are my companies making their dividend payments? Believe me, you'll know. There's all sorts of people out there helping you. So if you're watching your dividend growth stocks or even your prime income list type stocks, you know, where you're just looking for income now, if there's a problem, you're going to know about it. I mean, AT&T went from 30 to 25 when people thought they were going to cut their dividend. And, you know, it went all the way down to $13 when they did, okay? So are they growing their dividends over time? You can't fake a dividend, okay? You know, if you go to your renter's apartment and say, hey, your rent's due, he can come up with a story. Believe me, this guy was telling me some stories. And, Ed, you had me laughing so hard, as far as I can go. So I just think it's important that, you know, the dividends, you can't fake them, okay? So if there's even a chance that they're going to cut their dividend, people are going to know about it. I mean, look at Intel. You know, Intel bounced back, but, you know, they went down considerably when they cut their dividend. So, and can I remove or replace an underperforming company, i.e. a bad tenant, very quickly, okay? It doesn't take, you know, the sheriff's department to come out and give them a hard time. So investors should be less concerned with day-to-day price fluctuations because historically, dividend growth stocks have performed very well over time on an absolute and a relative basis. Remember, 40% of the return in the S&P 500 over the last 60 years has been dividends, okay? So it's a situation where, you know, you're looking at something and you're putting together, you know, what you're trying to do with real estate is get a cash flow stream that's rising. Same thing you're doing with dividend growth. The only difference is liquidity, okay? Long-term capital appreciation, same thing, okay? Modest market risk with lower volatility and lower variability of return against a benchmark. That's also, I guess, the investment strategy is to target companies with consistent annual dividend growth over a five-year period. Targeted above market portfolio dividend yield. Emphasize industry-leading companies with strong balance sheets and healthy dividend coverage. And sector allocation determined by economic cycle. Okay, so we move things around a little bit. Relative fundamental outlook and relative valuation. Now look, somebody said, well, my real estate goes up all the time. No, it doesn't. You just can't see the price every day, okay? You can't price out your real estate every day, although Google's starting to do that. And by the way, I had some guys that I know sell their houses at a peak. Great call. Okay? Those houses are down $30,000 or $40,000 now. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but it's 10%. It's a big hit for the next guy, okay? So I just think, you know, look, there's nothing wrong with real estate. I'm not criticizing real estate here at all, okay? What I'm saying is a dividend growth portfolio is a great opportunity, even in the prime income list. You know, most of the stocks there are raising their dividend, just not every year like the dividend growth portfolio. So it's something to keep in the back of your head. You know, hey, there's nothing wrong with real estate. I love it, okay? I have nothing against it. What I'm suggesting is asset allocation, moving your money around a little bit makes a lot of sense, okay? Now, I got a question this week from Stan, and Stan's called several times. He's talking about doing a wealth plan this week, so we'll see if he's finished. And he asked, do we have any research on gold mining equities? And the answer is yes. And if you'd like stuff on that, let us know. You know, it's funny, though. You know, gold was looking really good, and it broke out like, you know, we kind of anticipated. We kind of said that on this show. But the actual stocks didn't do that well. And now I'm starting to see them show up on my charts, which are good. So, you know, if you're worried about growth stocks, maybe it's time to diversify a little bit into the basic materials. You know, the financials have been doing great, so keep that in mind. And you know, we went kind of tactically cautious on bonds back in January, and you know, we had the 10-year yield down at 3.8%. Now it's popped again. So, you know. Some people have asked me about bonds, and I think bonds are a great long-term investment, but they're a deflationary investment. What's happening right now? Okay, you've got gold breaking out. You've got the basic material stocks. Copper breaks out. That seems to be more inflationary, so I just think that you got to buy bonds at the right time. You know, we were pounding the table on them back in September of 2022. You know, that was a great time to buy. And so I think it's the opportunities there. And by the way, municipal bonds are probably the cheapest I've ever seen. And if you'd like a list of our municipal bonds, please let us know. We'd be glad to send that out because, you know, tax-free income is pretty good. Now, what I like about the state of Ohio is that if you buy Ohio bonds, you get both tax-free bonds, state and federal tax-free. So those are pretty good. Now, the interest rates are, you know, they look lower, but if you compare them to a taxable equivalent, they're in pretty good shape, better than average shape, for, as far as I'm concerned. So that's something to think about. And I think, you know, people keep asking, you know, about bonds, and I think people are shell-shocked. Just remember, where we are right now is the average for the U.S. 10-year Treasury for the last 75 years. So we've been up to 14%. We've been down to 1. So the average, okay? So we've had times when things got crazy. By the way, all those ones that went up in the 70s got called 5 years later. and then we got the ones that are down at 1%. And something tells me none of those are going to get called, all right? So, you know, the average is 3.8 to 4.2% for 70 years. It actually goes back farther than that, but you know, there's a couple periods of time where the interest rate was skewed by war or something, you know, to that effect. So, look, I think you know we keep talking about the key points in this presidential election because I keep getting questions about it. The market has performed well under various combinations of party control, including, you know, we'll call it both controversial and plain vanilla presidencies, okay? In terms of hot-button campaign issues, Wall Street priorities often differ from Main Street's. You know, Wall Street wants fiscal responsibility, lower interest rates, you know, the Fed being happy to provide us money. Obviously, there's some crazy stuff going on in Washington where people want stuff that – you know, Wall Street doesn't care about. So The Fed, the economy, and innovation and profits tend to matter more to the stock market performance than politics and the election outcomes. You know, developments at the White House and Capitol Hill usually don't make or break America's, you know, $28 trillion economy or the profits of most S&P 500 companies, okay? So just remember that. And stock markets returns in past elections are useful to consider because it seems like we've only had really one bad period of time during the elections, and that was the hanging Chad thing back in 2000. But that was also the beginning of a bear market in technology, et cetera. But just remember, during the election years, we average 7.5%. The mean is 10.7%. So, I mean, you could have a better than average year. Now, most of that gain occurs in the second half of the year. So this is a different year in that, the S&P 500 was up 11% for the quarter, right? So the year one of the presidency usually is subdued. You know, you get an average of 6.6% and a mean of 8.1. And it's the year two, the midterm, where usually the mean's like 3.3%, but the average is like basically break even. And then the third year is the kick in the gear, okay? So keep that in mind, and we keep talking about the election because it's still ahead of us. All right, we'll take a break. This is Smart Investor Show. Stay tuned.
No matter your age, someone older is always saying you're still young, and some little kid thinks you're over 100. I think about that now that I've been a professional plumber for over 2 decades and recruit and train guys in their 20s. Because there's a lot you learn in 2 decades, and one of those lessons is when you get a slow drain or a clogged drain, it really matters who you call. Why? First, because it helps get a flat rate, guaranteed price, like Wyatt Works 93 or free offer. If we can cable your clog away, it's just $93. And if cabling's not enough, then our service call is free. And that last part is most important, because you might need more than cabling. And when that happens, you really want the hard-working, straight-talking, do-it-right plumbers in your corner. Our guys will send the camera down, lay out all your options, provide flexible payments, and ensure that your sewer line is wallacadoodled to a better-than-new condition.
Consider it done at WyattWorks.com.
Tweens have mastered the art of tuning out. Jen, there's a spider in the car. We're turning your room into a home gym. See? Nothing. But some messages need to get through, like making sure they're buckled up the whole ride, every time. Do whatever it takes to make your child listen. Jen, I friended your boyfriend.
Wait, what?
Buckle up, sweetie.
Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When rolling over your 401k, it's easy to get lost. Look to the experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors from RBC Wealth Management to guide you through the whole 401k rollover process. It's all part of designing a plan that's tailored to your unique investment needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Laughing in the rain. It's supposed to rain all day. Welcome to Ohio. Anyway, you know, last year for 9 months, I talked about this four-year cycle, this repetitive 3 to 4 year cycle driven by central bank liquidity and economic growth. And in a down market, usually at the beginning, you know, you have a down year, you bounce a little bit. Then you have an up year, then you have a down year. And it's the opposite way in what we call a structural bull market, which I believe is what we're going through right now. All right. So it is a situation where you've got to pay attention to this stuff because, you know, it occurs and occurs. And, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, right? So the cycle lows develop basically every 3 to 4 years, often near the red 200-day or 200-month moving average, 200-week moving average, whatever you want to call it, depending on what chart you're looking at. Usually it's the monthly. And the recent breakout to new highs in early 2024 is confirming that new upcycle. All right. Now, look, you don't want to go hog wild, but, you know, we held the 200 or the four-year moving average, which is the 200-week moving average. So that's very important. And you got to keep that in the back of your head. Now, the momentum's up there. So, like I said, there's a lot of people that are bullish right now, okay? And that happens occasionally. But remember, when you go into an election year, it's October. That's the month that usually decides the election. If the market is down in October, about 80% of the time, the incumbent loses. If the market is up during October, the incumbent wins. So keep that in the back of your head, okay? So look, the S&P 500, you know, like I said, the most bullish thing you can do is go up. And since Rob Schleimer made that comment about the quadrant balance oscillator being really low, it has gone up and up and up and up and up. So it's been a great call. I think it's something to pay fairly close attention to. All right. And we'll go on. We'll talk about that a little bit more in about 15 minutes. Now, this is a great time while you're making all your money to fill out a family inventory workbook. All right. It provides key information to your loved ones, and it's all in one spot. Okay. So what it is just an organizational tool that allows you to put all your stuff in one spot. Okay. Make a copy of it, hand it to your kids, hand it to your wife. Everybody knows, hand it to your lawyer, hand it to your accountant, you know, et cetera. All right. So that's also important. And, you know, look, I said last week, and I think this is really kind of a neat additive. We now have the ability on a wealth plan, assuming you open an account with us, we can tell you, we are using the Social Security's information to tell you when the best time to take your Social Security payment is. The most, you know, where you're going to get the most money out of them. Okay. And so the critical point, and it's, you know, a lot of people take their stuff early. Some people that don't realize that, you know, sometimes it's 68, sometimes it's 70, sometimes it's 65. You know, if you're hurt or whatever, it may be earlier than that. Okay. But this gives you the information you need. Bingo. Okay. So the wealth management questionnaire doesn't take long. It's a great piece. More and more people starting to fill it out. And I think it just makes sense, you know, makes a lot of sense. So keep that in your head. Now, look, one of the things I've been talking about for some time now is AI. And one of the things that I've said is that, you know, everybody's worried about the AI bubble. Well, I think it's too early to have a bubble. I mean, we just really started the AI move back in April of last year. But look, these are strong revenue trends that most of these companies have. And a lot of them, they're seeing integration in multiple aspects of their business operations, product offerings, including, you know, cloud platforms, data centers, all that stuff. So I think this is important because the one thing that AI can do is there's a monetization. So these guys are seeing the money come in right away. So companies are at various stages of determining the path towards this monetization, such as offering AI-based services, selling AI products, leveraging AI efficiency gains, you know, that type of thing. And the only thing that's really kind of holding things back is the GPU, which is the server that allows you to step onto the AI platform and, you know, the ability to get to things, okay? So, but I'm also seeing that the semiconductor index was a very, you know, narrow move, and now we're starting to see a lot more participation, which I thought would happen a lot earlier, to be honest with you, but it didn't. So, but I think this data center expansion could be, you know, a huge scenario. Now, I did get kind of stopped out of one of my stocks, and it went down where I thought it was going to, but I didn't buy it back because I was worried and I should have. So that happens occasionally. But I think you look at some of these developments and some of the requirements related to some of these to what they call an LLM, which is a model size, you know, for these AI things. I think it's important, but I also think the strategic partnerships that are evolving out of this are going to be really interesting. Okay, you know, there's two of the biggest companies in the Magnificent Seven are getting together, and you never would have thought that would have happened. And so, I do think there's a couple things that people got to understand, and this, you know, this is gets into the electric car business, because GPUs suck energy. Cars suck energy. Okay, we don't have the infrastructure yet for the electric cars. Although I'm pretty sure that they want to build it out really fast. The other thing is Bitcoin. Bitcoin, you know, mining Bitcoin sucks energy. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, you've got to pay attention to that, because I think you know, utility business might become a growth business again. Okay, because look. Data centers represented half of the U.S. power demand growth through 2026. That's increasing the forecast by over 50% in some regions. Demand should accelerate beyond 2026 as the grid tries to catch up with the backlog. So it's going to get interesting. And the relative location flexibility of large AI training data centers opens up opportunities in markets that have spare generation and transmission capacity. However, all else being equal, established hubs have a scale advantage. All right, so you got to start thinking like this, because we're sucking energy big time, and you know we haven't built many power plants in a long, long period of time. So, so if we don't have spare capacity, bringing a large scale data center to market takes time. Right, and there's a couple companies, by the way, that have plug and play, which make it a lot easier. So that's kind of interesting. But data centers should drive more demand for renewables, in my humble opinion. They're looking for clean energy commitments, is what it comes down to. So many utilities plan to add a considerable amount of gas generation in addition to renewables and storage. So the power area, and I talked about this 2 years ago, the infrastructure and power is going to be big. And I think people got to understand that part. And, you know, I don't think yet, well, let's just put it this way. I think a lot of people are not paying attention to that. And it's something that you should. It could be, you know, electricity is going to come to a premium. And everybody says, well, said to me, my neighbors have said, you know, Tim, why haven't you bought a new electric car? First of all, I love my Audis. second of all, it's because the infrastructure is not there. And if you're using electricity to mine Bitcoin and all the other digital currencies, you're doing GPUs. You know, GPUs are sucking you dry, and then you have electric cars. I don't know if electricity is going to stay at the same price it is. I mean, they just had a big increase this last year. So, you know, like, you know, I've said several weeks in a row, gradually, then suddenly. You know, it was a gradual thing, and now, suddenly, everybody's paying attention, okay? And I think, you know, look, AI is the technology with human-like intelligent capabilities. That's positive. But it refers to, you know, it's the ability to mimic cognitive functions associated with human intelligence, such as being able to see, understand, respond to language, that type of thing. But it sucks electricity. Electric cars suck electricity. You know, you get a cold day and your electric car gets 2/3 of the normal capacity. All right? You got a lot of people, you know, Bitcoin went to a new high just recently. That's a lot of mining. Okay, you know how many new Bitcoin ETFs there are? That's a lot of mining, folks. So keep that in the back of your mind, because I have a feeling electricity is going to come is going to be an area of great growth in the next 5 to 10 years. Infrastructure spending will be huge, and that may be why the industrial group has been leading the way. So it's something to keep in the back of your mind. I tell you, I think I looked at the electrical usage of some of the companies that mine coin, the coins. I was surprised. I mean, 300-400% increases year over year, especially when the price of the Bitcoin or whatever, you know, digital currency you're talking about go up. The price goes up, the mining goes crazy. And it, I mean, you can use, you know, there was a gentleman I know that tried it on his computer, and his electric bill doubled in one afternoon. So that gives you an idea. There's great opportunity out there in that infrastructure play. In the meantime, let's take a break. Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Stay tuned.
This is Dennis Prager. Now you can listen to my show when it's convenient for you and without censorship from big tech. Become a member of the ultimate online community for all things Prager. It's Pragertopia Unlimited. Listen to every radio show over the last 10 years, all commercial free. You can even listen to all my Torah teachings for free. Join today and save 25% off the first year and get a free Pragertopia coffee mug. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
There are two radio stations in this city that aren't like any others. One gives you the real news and issues and honest analysis from some of the best talkers in America. The other gives you music and entertainment that's safe for the whole family. Something you and your kids can actually listen to together.
Oh, yeah, we're different, all right.
For real news and information, turn to AM 1420, The Answer. And for entertainment safe for the whole family, turn to 95.5, The Fish. Because different is good.
When it comes to managing your retirement, it's easy to get lost. Look to RBC Wealth Management to guide you. Our experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors will build your investment strategy by designing a plan that's tailored to your unique financial needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Visit rbcwealthmanagement.com.
Okay, we're back. I think that's Old Kentucky Home, but anyway, it's the Easter Parade. I'm sorry. Thank you, Lenny. Lenny's our technician. He's a good one. So I had several people call me yesterday, and we weren't open. So they left messages, and they're talking about, you know, aren't you worried about a bear market? Look, you just went through a two-year consolidation in an upward pattern, i.e. a bear market, okay? So there are when you have a structural bull market, the general tendency is for the market to go up, okay? And we switch these every, you know, 15 to 18 years or 16 to 18 years. And then we go into a structural bear market, okay? That's when the tendency for stocks is to go down, all right? And so this was a different one because it took so long for the Fed to get to what they called, a normal rate on the market. And, you know, 5 3/4-point rate moves is a lot. So, you know, you got to worry about it. But the fact that we've broken out and we haven't had a rate cut yet is impressive, folks. All right. So I think the pullback, you know, if everybody's worried, and Lori Calvestina thinks we should have a pullback. She's not screaming bear market, by the way. But the fact that we have a pullback will probably be a great opportunity. And, you know, will pullbacks be shallow? Probably. The average move off this four-year base, if you look technically, is like 111%. A long way to go if that's the case. But the three measures of trend are price, and the relative performance compared to bonds, and the advanced decline line. And if you look at the advanced decline line, it's broken out. Now, some of that is like bond funds, and it's not the all stock index that we're looking for, okay? But it's still the advanced decline line that's broken out. The relative performance of stocks over bonds is definitely positive, and we've broken out of that two-year consolidation. And by the way, the low was a week from when Tim said it was on the radio. So that was a pretty good call, both by myself. Well, I made it by myself, but I had some excellent help. But I think it's important that, you know, right now you've got to look. I think there's a switch in leadership coming on, okay? So, you know, as Lori Calvacina said, the Magnificent Seven's kind of slowing down a little bit, you know. And look, they've come a long way. It's about time they took a breather, all right? But you know, the basic materials, you know, copper breaks out, gold breaks out. The basic materials, the financials. Look at the move in some of the banks recently, especially the large banks took off, all right. You know, it looks like to me that oil is starting to become the leadership group, all right? And we talked about that for a while. So I think it's important that, you know, you pay kind of a close attention to who's leading the way. And, you know, a lot of people have very concentrated portfolios, and that might be a bad idea going forward. Who knows? You know, but look, I think what's going to happen is that, you know, technology is going to take a breather, and then just when everybody says, ah, it's over, it'll take off again. that's kind of what happened with oil, okay? So I just think it's rotational leadership, which is exactly what a bull market should do. You know, periods of time when one group goes forward, then it stalls for a while, maybe pulls back a little bit, then the next group goes forward, okay? So that's just normal. I mean, it's something that you should be thinking about all the time in your portfolio as far as Tim's concerned. So, hey, look. I think it's a great idea at this point. Take a look at your portfolio, and if you don't know what you're doing, have somebody else take a look at your portfolio. And I'd be glad, you know, if you go to WHK 1420, go to local podcast, go down to the Smart Investor Show. It could take you directly to my webpage, and there's all sorts of contact me, email me's. By the way, you know, on that page, it says Insight, and if you click on that Insight tab, it has a whole, you know, page or two pages of really good, interesting research with we name names, okay? And under bulletin board is Rob Schleimer's weekly piece and our weekly newsletter telling you what we, you know, the trends we see. But in the meantime, you can also set up an appointment and we can do a wealth plan. We can look over your portfolio. We can tell you what we think is good and what we think is bad. And somebody said, you know, are you a fiduciary, Tim? Yes, I am, okay? Anybody charges a fee for their services is a fiduciary, and we're a fiduciary. So keep that in mind. So we look out for you. And by the way, I root for my clients all the time, so I'll just leave it at that. But look, we have some things that I think are very important to think about right now. Dividend growth cheap. Small caps may have broken out on Thursday, I guess it was. So if they confirm that could get really interesting. For those of you who are retired, we have the prime income list, which is, dividend investing now, you know, for money now. Remember, CDs are great, but they're regular income. So if you're at the 25% level, you know, you get a 10% tax advantage by getting a dividend, okay? So dividends are important. And then the small cap idea list, I think, is getting really interesting. And also Europe is starting to participate. The ADR list is getting really I'm starting to chart it pretty regularly. So I'm not absolutely sure that I'm right, but I think I'm pretty close to right. And I think there's going to be an opportunity coming on some of these names. Now, a couple of them, like the weight loss drug companies, have gone crazy. So they're hard to buy unless they correct for us. But I think the important part is the ADRs are starting to emerge. And that, by the way, you know, somebody asked me about China. You know, I'll just say the chart on China has not turned yet, but it's you know, it's looking more interesting. I'm not saying buy it, okay? I am not saying buy it. The ADR list, if you'd like a copy of it, please let us know. Like our small cap list, let us know. Dividend growth or prime incomes. We'll just keep it from there. In the meantime, everybody have a wonderful holiday weekend. For those, happy Easter to all those, and may enjoy Passover also. In the meantime, this is Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Don't forget to buy low and sell high.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Investor Hour. To reach Tim during the week, call him toll-free, 888-223-7742. That's 888-223-7742. Or visit his website, rbcwmfa.com/Tim Hayes. That's all one word in the address bar, rbcwfma.com/Tim Hayes. Please join us again next Saturday for the Smart Investor Hour to hear more smart investing from Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.